This is a one-off sermon, the sermon that is about looking forward to the future. All right. Hopefully you had a blessed Christmas. I know I did. It was a lot different than it normally is. I'll tell you that. But it has been blessed nonetheless, spending time with close family. I think my mic might be on in the monitors, and that might be causing the ring. I think, if I had to guess. All right, so today we're going to talk about the upcoming new year. And as everybody knows, 2020 has been a struggle for just about everybody. Right? 2020 is one of those years that I'm sure everybody's really ready to see gone, right? Let's move on. Let's forget this year ever happened. Let's move on, right? And Adam, if I accidentally step on your pedal and change your settings, I'm sorry. So why are we so glad to see 2020 end? Well, it's been rough, right? It's been bad. And I'm sure for some of us, myself included, there might be some fears about what 2021 is going to bring, right? We're heading into this 2021 and we're still in the same place we were, right? And so there's some fear there probably. There may be fear of things, you know, not going right, or fear of not being able to make ends meet. The biggest issue that we have right now is uncertainty. And how many of you know uncertainty is it's hard to deal with, right? Some examples of uncertainty, right? Like, uncertainty is like climbing up a rickety ladder, hoping that it's going to hold you up when you get to the top of the roof, right? You're uncertain if it's going to, you know, make it, right? Uncertainty is choosing to trust someone who's lied to you before, right? You're uncertain if they're going to really tell you the truth this time. You can't trust them. Or parents, you've probably gone through this, trusting your teenager to drive the car by themselves for the first time, right? There's a lot of uncertainty there. We all face uncertainty. And the biggest reason we face this uncertainty is because the world is temporary. This world was never meant to be what we base our trust on. It's temporary. The world is fallen, right? We can't trust everybody because we're sinful people. I don't know about you, but I've let some people down before myself, right? None of us is perfect. And so this uncertainty, if we're just looking at it through the world's perspective, there's a whole lot of uncertainty and not a whole lot we can trust in. And I think that's what makes the fear come up in us so much when we have a year like we've had of what are we going to hold on this roller coaster, right? It feels like you're going down a roller coaster with no bar in front of you, right? I don't know about you, but that bar has the imprints of my hand on it when we get done with it, right? And if we don't have something to hold on to, it's going to be a rough ride. However, let's take a look at James 1:17 this morning. James 1:17. And I had it there and I passed it up. It says this. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. In Christ, we have that certainty. That rock on which to stand. And James puts it so eloquently that he never changes. And there's no... Let's see what he said there again. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. That's hard to say, and I'm not going to say that too fast. He never changes his will is always to redeem. And he's not moody. He's not going to change on us, right? How many of you you've gone through school or college, and every time you hit a new class, right, you get a new professor or a new teacher. And each professor or teacher is just a little bit different from the last one, right? One will let you get by with, you know, a little less on the grammar rules, right? One will let you get by a little less on the the length of the content. But you gotta figure them out. I had this struggle, right? I had to know which teachers can I ride that due date? Because I'm a procrastinator, right? Which of those teachers would be gracious because I didn't always have my work in on time, right? And each teacher was different. And so it was really uncertain that first class when I turned in homework, how's this going to work, right? How's this going to end? But with God, we don't have that shifting change. When we come to God with our problems, when we come to God with our hearts, we can bank on the fact that he's going to be a loving God. He's not going to change. He's not going to waver. He is God. And he's not up there going, well, I don't know. Maybe I will be loving this time, maybe I won't, right? He's loving every time. He's just every time. He's righteous every time. Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19 says this. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? He can be trusted. Malachi 3:6 says that, let's just go there. Malachi 3:6. Why did I pass? Those little ones are hard to find, y'all. There it is. Malachi 3:6 says this. We'll back up to 5. At that time I will put you on trial. I am eager to witness against all sorcerers and adulterers and liars. I will speak against those who cheat employees of their wages, who oppress widows and orphans, or who deprive the foreigners living among you of justice. For these people do not fear me, says the Lord of heaven's armies. I am the Lord, and I do not change. And that is why you descendants of Jacob are not already destroyed. So the remainder of our time today, we're going to talk about why we can trust in God and his promises. Yeah, let's take a look at Israel's story this morning. God had promised Abraham the land of Canaan. And God later saves his people from a horrible drought. Remember when the drought came and Joseph was in Egypt, and they move into Egypt, and they're saved from that drought and that famine. But then later on down the line, Joseph dies, and a different Pharaoh comes in and realizes that God's people are flourishing. And they're growing in number, and he gets afraid of that. And so he starts enslaving them. And God promises to bring his people out of Egypt. And he does. He's good on that promise. Fast forward to the time of Isaiah. So by this time, they had started to fall away from God. And God was all the time warning them, look, I've promised you this land. But if we remember, the promise came with, okay, if you obey my commands, you get to stay in the land. If you don't obey the commands that I've given you, I will remove you from that land. And here we see God he's merciful, he's gracious, but he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And we see that played out in the life of Israel, is they were removed from the land. Isaiah prophesies a little bit before that, but God sticks true to his promise. He gave them the land just like he promised, but he also took it away because just like he promised, if you don't obey, you'll be removed from the land. And then God gives them another promise through Isaiah. And so if you look with me at Isaiah chapter 42, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. It says, "Look at my servant whom I strengthen. He is my chosen one who pleases me. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or raise his voice in public. He will not crush the weakest of reeds or put out a flickering candle. He will bring justice to all who have been wronged. He will not falter or lose heart until justice prevails throughout the earth. Even distant lands beyond the sea will wait for his instruction. God, the Lord, created the heavens and the earth, stretched them out. He created the earth and everything in it. He gives breath to everyone, life to everyone who walks on the earth. And it is he who says, 'I, the Lord, have called you to demonstrate my righteousness. I will take you by the hand and guard you, and I will give you to my people Israel as a symbol of my covenant with them. And you will be a light to guide the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind. You will free the captives from prison, releasing those who sit in dark dungeons. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else, nor share my praise with carved idols.'" And listen to this. "Everything I have prophesied has come true. And now I will prophesy again. I will tell you the future before it happens." God begins unpacking to Israel what he's getting ready to do. And this is obviously talking about Jesus coming on the scene. This is Isaiah prophesying of Jesus coming. And God gives them some reasons to believe what he just said. And the first one he gives them, he reminds them of the prophecies that have already come true. Right? He reminds them, "Look, I said I would do this, and I did it. Everything I've said I'm going to do, I have done." And then he says he's going to prophesy again, but he says that it's going to be before it happens. If you're reading in the NIV translation this morning, you probably see "before they spring into being" is how that's translated. And the word that is used here for that spring into being is, and I'm going to pronounce this the best I can, Sanach. And this term is actually used to describe a plant that is sprouting forth. So the connotation that it brings when he says, "I'm going to tell you these things before they spring up, before they germinate, before there's any sign of life," right? Before anybody could draw any conclusions about what is going to happen, God is saying, "I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before anybody else could, so that they know when that happens, there's no question that it's from God." He did that to remove all doubt, right? And we know from reading the New Testament, right, that these promises all come true. Every single one of them. These new things that he was declaring was about Jesus in hundreds of years before Jesus was ever on the scene. He's prophesying this about him. You know, and that's what we just celebrated at Christmas time, right? It's Christ coming. And that's part of the reason we can believe, and we'll get to that here in a second. If you flip over to Isaiah chapter 43, just a page over, in 16 through 21, says this, "I am the Lord who opened a way through the waters, making a dry path through the sea. I called forth the mighty army of Egypt with all its chariots and horses, and I drew them beneath the waves, and they drowned, their lives snuffed out like smoldering candle wick. But forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland." Now, God right here is not telling them to literally forget about what he did for them when he brought them out of Egypt. What he's telling them here is look, you think that was big? You wait till I've got in store for you. He was letting them know that he was getting ready to do something even better. And he wanted them to trust him and trust his promises. And you know, when it comes to our own story, we tend to land in one of three categories. The first one we're going to talk about is sometimes we get too tied to the past that we can't move forward when God does a new thing. We see this exemplified with the Jewish people when Jesus comes onto the scene and he establishes this new covenant. And it was really hard for them to see that it wasn't circumcision that saved them. It was Christ. It wasn't, they no longer needed to make those sacrifices in the temple because Christ had already made that sacrifice himself. And so in Hebrews, if you go there with me, the writer of Hebrews is, the entirety of the book is trying to communicate to the people that, look, Jesus' covenant is better, right? This is this new thing that God was telling them about in Isaiah. This is the new thing that God's doing, and it's better. It's better than the old covenant. Hebrews, let's look at chapter 9, verse 28. It says this, actually, I'm going to back up to 27. "And just as each person is destined to die once and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow and a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have been stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, 'You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. Then I said, look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures.'" Christ's sacrifice was a better sacrifice. And what was happening with the people of Israel and the Jewish people where they were stuck in the old way of doing things and they were remembering, which we'll see here in a second, isn't bad, but they were failing to move into this new covenant that God had given them. And they were attaching all these extra works to them that God never intended. So when it comes to our story, we need to yes, remember the past, right? Now, there are some other, this other camp that we sometimes fall into with God's promises, or we forget to the past completely and face the future with fear. And why do we face that future with fear? It's because we have no basis for which to trust God, right? If we're not looking back to where God was faithful, it's going to be a bumpy road ahead because we don't know that he's there for us. Throughout the book of Deuteronomy, God is repeatedly telling his people, remember. Remember what I did for you when I brought you up out of Egypt. Remember what I did for you in the wilderness. Remember. We humans often, we're quick to forget sometimes. I know my attention span sometimes is that of a goldfish, right? We're quick to forget, and God is telling his people, remember what I've done for you. Remember what I've brought you from. We sometimes forget that God has already, what he's already done in our lives. You know, nothing brings me greater peace than to sit down and think about, actually remember and look back on what God has done already in my life. You know, when we're facing a situation that's tough, looking back on the fact that, you know what, I'm not worried about this thing that I'm facing because I remember God bringing me through the situation years ago. Right? We can know that because he doesn't change. If he's faithful then, he's going to be faithful now. We sometimes forget that God's promises are good. Sometimes we read in the scriptures about these promises that he's given us and we forget that these promises are still good. Deuteronomy 8:15. I'm going to read that for you. It says, do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. Remember. Remember what he's done for us, because not only does that keep us trusting in him, but it also keeps our trust off of ourselves. Because we realize that, you know what, yeah, we may be successful, but we had nothing to do with it. So, remember. And the third container that we sometimes fall into, or the camp we fall into, is this. Remembering the faithfulness of God in the past and trusting him for the future. This is where we should be. Right? This good balance of remembrance and still moving forward. In this new year, we need hope. Now more than ever. Right? There's a lot of stuff going on in this world. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of sickness. And we can have that hope because he's faithful and he's trustworthy. All these promises that he promised about the Messiah coming, about Jesus, about they all came true. Every single one of them. Right, we can look at his word and see that he's telling the truth. We can look at our own lives and see that he's trustworthy, he's faithful. In this new year, I want us to remember to do three things. And this is going to be the end of my sermon here, towards the end here. Number one, we need to remember the faithfulness of God in our lives. As we go through this new year, as we step into this new, fresh beginning, remember. Remember what he says in his word, and remember where he's brought you from. And the second thing is we need to rest in that fact that he never changes. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. The same God that has been true to his promises thus far is the same God that is going to sustain us in the coming years. So rest in that fact, that we don't have to rely on our own strength, but we rely on him. And that brings me to the third thing, is to rely. To rely on his promises. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 1:19. I read this week, and it just blessed me to no end. 2 Corinthians 1:19. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, does not waver between yes and no. He is the one whom Silas, Timothy, and I preach to you, and is God's ultimate yes. He always does what he says. For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes. And through Christ, our amen, which means yes, ascends to God for his glory. It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he's promised us. God's promises are true. When he promises that he is going to provide a way for us, he means it. When he promises he's going to care for us, he means it. And we can rest and rely on these promises. King David even prayed for the promises that God had given him. Take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 7. We're going to look at verse 27 here. It says this, O Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, I have been bold enough to pray this prayer to you because you have revealed all this to your servant, saying, I will build a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For you are God, O sovereign Lord. Your words are truth, and you have promised these good things to your servant. And now may it please you to bless the house of your servant so that it may continue forever before you. For you have spoken, and when you grant a blessing to your servant, O sovereign Lord, it is eternal blessing. Part of what we can do to really help ourselves rely on those promises is to pray scripture. When God promises something, we can be bold about praying about it. Because he's already promised it. Right? We're praying in accordance to his word. We can boldly come to the throne and pray about what he's promised. So in closing, remember, we need to remember his faithfulness in the past. Rest in his unchanging love and his unchanging nature, and rely on his promises. You know, we may not know what's coming up ahead of us in 2021, and the world is not going to give us a lick of certainty. But what is certain is the promises of God and his word. And his word remains true no matter what goes on in life. And as we jump into this next series of going through his word and seeing that plan of redemption, we can take it to heart because we know he's good and we know he never changes. The new year is often seen as a new blessing, or a new beginning. And this is the time that we often try to make sweeping life change, right? The new year, new me, right? And most of us get about, January 30th? Me, I get at least January 2nd. Let me submit to you that God wants to do that for you this year. Let him do a new thing in your heart this year. You know, if you're already a follower of Christ, allow him to work in you. This is the time of year, it's a great time for self-reflection and to look back on the year behind and to pray like David prayed, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. You know, allow him to work in you through his word and through time in his word and time in prayer. And if you've never accepted Christ in your life through baptism, now's the time to allow him to create in you a new heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Our salvation is just part of it, right? God wants to do a new thing in you if you've never accepted Christ. If you're online, you know, click on that link in the description. We'd love to pray with you. But allow him to do something new in you this year. Take his promises to heart. You know, and our salvation is only part of it, right? The greater thing is what Christ wants to accomplish in you as you become more and more like him, right? Salvation is a wonderful thing, but it's just the beginning. And so even though we've you know, those of us who have placed our lives with Christ, that's great, but he's got a lot of work to do, doesn't he? I know in my life, I've got a lot of work to do, a lot of growing to do. And to become more and more like Christ. And the question is this morning, will you let him? As the praise team comes back up, we're going to go into a time of praise. But if you've never made that decision to follow Christ, and if you're here in this room, I'd love to talk to you afterwards and introduce you to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We praise you for how good you are. God, I thank you that your promises and your word are true. And God, that we can face tomorrow knowing that you've been faithful in the past. And God, I just pray that you will help us to move forward in this year 2021. With a focus and a desire to know your word, to know your promises. God, that we can stand firm no matter what the year brings. And God, that we can grow more and more like you every day. And God, we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand with us this morning?